A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Chase Thomas podcast. The Chase Thomas podcast. My nephew needs me to record. See, I already hate it.
All right, welcome back to a Monday evening edition of the Chase Thomas Podcast. I am the aforementioned Chase Thomas, and I am joined, as I am during the NFL season, by none other than Mr. Evan Swords. Evan, good evening, sir. Where are you?
Hi. What's going on, buddy? It's good to hear from you. I am in Dallas, Texas.
Mm.
This bleeding heart, liberal douchebag 49ers fan is in the antithesis of who he is as a man, right? Cowboys country, right? Dallas, Texas, hanging out. What's going on, dude?
What are you doing in Dallas? No snowboards in Dallas, I'm assuming.
No snowboarding in Dallas. No snowboarding. You know, so I, you know, I think we've talked about this a little bit before, but I get the opportunity to work remote.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I get to kind of just work from my laptop, and I'll be doing that for the better part of the year. So, you know, LA is shut down and wildly expensive, and I was paying like $2,000 a month for rent. So I was just kind of like, yeah, I don't want to do that anymore. So I have just been traveling around, visiting friends that I haven't been able to see in a long time. You know, make sure to take a COVID test before I leave, before I go. Thankfully, my health insurance, you know, is free to do it. And started out off in Portland, went to see the lady, hung out there for, you know, 3 weeks.
Oh, is she back in the lady status?
Oh, don't you start. Not in front of the people. Neither here nor there. Don't talk about my broken relationships. We can talk about your broken phone.
Oh, my God. That good. Hey, well, you know, you are getting closer and closer to Knoxville.
I am. I was like, I'm a hop, skip, and a jump away. But yeah, so then I went to Utah, as you know, and did some snowboarding for 3 weeks and had a bunch of fun there. And yeah, my buddy just moved to Dallas for a job and feeling a little lonely. So I thought I'd come say hi to him.
Okay. Okay. Well, I like it. How long are you going to be in Dallas?
I'm going to just keep doing this until I get bored.
Okay.
And just in general, I'm going to keep kind of couch surfing and hanging out and seeing the country during a pandemic, as most people would. Until I get bored and decide to go back to LA, I'm kind of hoping I can kind of stay in cities that are less, you know, dangerous, if you will, with this pandemic. LA's pretty bad, obviously.
Well, it's time to for you to come right on down to a national hotspot, Knox County.
Yeah. I gotta say, I'm in Dallas, but I'm not going around Dallas, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's cool, man. I couldn't do what you're doing right now. That's like one of my living hells. Like, that would just be, I'm out on that altogether. Like, I don't sleep well at other people's places, and like me sleeping on like couches and stuff, like I would just be beside myself. I would be losing it.
Yeah. You know, I gotta say, I've lived on my own literally my whole life. Like, you know, since I was like, well, I've had roommates when I was young, but like since 25, I've always had my own apartment. So I very much have been in my own bag for a long time, and I'm just kind of, you know, it's one of those things. I mean, not to get super dramatic on a sports podcast,
no, that's
but my beautiful loving dog that I had for 12 years passed away in March. And when, you know, when you have a dog, you don't really have an opportunity to do these things, right? You can't just like dip, travel around, go see friends, right? You always got to kind of come back, have someone watch the dog.
Yeah.
Can't take the dog. So it was just one of those moments where I was like, they're like, hey, you're not coming to the office probably for the rest of the year. Mm-hmm. And I was like, are you sure? And he's like, yeah, well, okay. I'll see you later.
Big gulps, huh? Well, see you later. That's awesome though. Yeah, no, this is not me. Like we're both, you're in year 33, correct? You turned 33, right?
33 indeed.
Mm-hmm. Happy late birthday, sir. But I did wish you on the day of.
4 days. Mm-hmm. Yes. No, indeed.
It just, at this point, like I need my routine. And also I just love my memory foam bed. Like I love it. And I've never been as a kid, like even growing up, I remember I was in like seventh grade and I called my mom in the middle of the night at a friend's house. And I was like, you got to come pick me up. I can't do this. I'm just staring at the ceiling for like the last 5 hours. Like you gotta come get me. This is awful. I can't sleep. And I can't do it. Like I literally have always struggled staying at other people's places. It's never been easy for me for whatever reason.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. I'm not normally that person, but I think I'm just more about, you know, some experiences right now than I am about making sure I got a comfy bed. But I got to tell you, when I go back home, I made a point, since I'm saving so much money right now, not paying my rent, I'm buying brand new bed.
Oh, there you go.
Going all out.
I mean,
so
you should never cheap out on. Like, you're in your bed so much that you need to make sure that you take care of your body. Because, like, when we get to our age, man, nothing's
from our age.
Our age, man.
We get up there.
Yeah, we're getting up there, man.
There.
Yeah, yeah. So what did you, were you able to spend yesterday watching all the games? Were you able to find a place to catch up on some NFL action?
Yeah, I did. I got to watch the games. Like, you know, I always find a way. And in this case, it's Dallas. So there's no restrictions, but everything's open.
Well, the pandemic actually extend to Dallas. I don't know if you missed
right.
That
yeah. The greater Midwest area just as a whole kind of, you know, thoughtful of it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we found a nice little outside patio sports bar where I could, you know, not be inside or be around a bunch of people because I'm still trying to be reasonably safe.
Were there White Claws available?
Yes, there were White Claws. And it's funny because the lady, I was like, hey, do you guys have any White Claws? And she's like, yeah, we got a bunch. She goes, there's, you know, raspberry and black cherry. And then she like named off two like ridiculous color like flavors that like are not White Claw flavors. They're probably like some other shit.
Mm.
And she's like, and I was like, ooh, yeah, let me get a black cherry. She's like, I really like this hibiscus flower, whatever the fuck she said. And I was like, no. I'll take a White Claw. She's like, oh no, this is a oh honey, you're right. This is yeah okay. I was like, yeah, get that bullshit away from me.
Wow, LA stunting on some nice Dallas bartenders. Just trying to help you out. Just trying to expand your palate, expand your horizons. And you're just like, no, give me the Black Cherry White Claw.
Yeah, that's what I said, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, it was fun. I have all my notes in front of me, and getting PFF Elite has been super clutch, so shout out to that. Just going through that and just nerding out over the weekend, going through college and NFL stuff, and just after the game, just seeing how everything played out. How do we do in our pick'em? Did you go 2-0? I know I went 1-1.
No, brother, come on. What are we doing? I mean, do you even listen to me on your podcast?
Did you go 1-1 too? Because I think you hate the Packers.
I screamed at the end of your podcast that the Bills are going to win the Super Bowl.
No, I know that. I know you missed that one. No. I know that one. I'm just saying the Packers Bucks. I don't remember which one you went on that one.
Yeah, no. So basically, right, like I didn't go 2-0. In this case, I definitely, thought the Bills were going to win. Obviously got that wrong.
Try to tell you
the one thing. Yeah, I mean, hey, yeah, but I did pick the Bucks.
Mm-hmm.
And
you tried to tell me about the Packers.
No. Sorry, I lied. I totally lied. I was looking at the Saints Bucks where I took the Bucks. I did take the Packers.
Oh, 0-2. Unbelievable.
Both of us.
No, I didn't go 0-2. No, sorry.
Yeah,
I didn't pick the Bills.
You took the. Oh my God! Wait,
that's 1-1. I went Packers Chiefs.
I'm losing my mind right now. My notes read that we both said Chiefs, but I didn't.
No, you definitely picked Bills. You picked the Bills to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Okay, so I was 0-2, and you were 1-1.
Yeah. Would you like to guess who the three highest graded Chiefs in that game was per PFF?
Yeah, I think it's got to be Patrick Mahomes.
Mm-hmm. He was first.
Was it Matthew?
No. You're overthinking this.
Is there a different... Oh, sorry. Is it really just Tyron Matthew, Tyreek Hill, and Travis Kelce? Patrick Mahomes.
Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill. Yep.
Yeah.
We'll get into that game, but yeah, not the craziest. I was texting you where I was like, oh, this is going to get out of hand. Like during this game where it was just like, oh, this is getting out of hand. And then like the field goal before the half, I was like, oh yeah, they've 100% accepted their fate. But we'll get into some thank you for not coaching this weekend from both Sean McDermott and Matt LaFleur, but we'll save that for a second. There are some news items that I wanted to hit before we get into this weekend, and my favorite segment every week, the Our Time, Our Teams with the Falcons and Niners news. Matt Stafford getting traded. That's happening. That broke after we recorded last week. Who makes the most sense for you? And this can also bleed into the 49ers discussion, because I know that that's something that's linked, and I have had friends talk to me about this, and Lions, one of my best friends, Ryan Adams, is a diehard Lions fan.
Lion?
Yes, he's an actual Lion. And he's just beside himself. He called me just an emotional wreck the other day when this all broke. Just being a Georgia fan and from Detroit and being a Lions fan, just Stafford's been a part of his life forever. So it's brutal for him. And we don't see stuff like this very often. So that's why I'm just so fascinated. The Deshaun Watson stuff's fascinating. The Matt Stafford stuff is fascinating. I'm curious if this becomes more of a trend with quarterbacks like this, where they just finally get tired of it and they're just like, we're going to flex and we're just going to be like, we won out. Who makes the most sense? Because the Niners are thrown out a lot, and I don't see it. Kyle doesn't want a Matt Stafford type.
So first and foremost, you have to understand that the 49ers are going to have a lot of options, mm-hmm. right? Because... So first, we all know they're going to trade for Deshaun Watson. Right?
No, they're not doing that either.
No, they're going to trade for Deshaun Watson. Trust me, I've talked to all these 49ers fans. No. You're not hearing me. I'm telling you, I've talked to all these 49ers fans constantly, and they're going to trade for Deshaun Watson, and then they're going to trade for Matt Stafford, but then they're also going to draft Kyle Wilson at number two. Or excuse me, Zach Wilson. I always say Kyle.
There is a Kyle Wilson.
Number. Yeah, I know. That's why I always think about it. But they're going to draft Zach Wilson as well. But just because they're going to, you know, they're not going to like throw their situation away. They want to like, you know, a transition quarterback. They're going to keep Jimmy Garoppolo so that they can then draft Mac Jones in the second round. So, you know, really like the 49ers are stacked at quarterback.
Yeah. I mean, you're in really good shape there. I don't know where the best spot is. So in all honesty, like when you saw his name pop up and like you're thinking about trade ideas and who could really get in there for him, who stands out the most for you? Because I don't know if people would agree on like who stood out the most for me. I really do believe the Patriots are a sneaky dark horse for him. I really do.
Listen, man. I'm not going to have you do this another time. You're just hoping that the Patriots take a, you know, once really good quarterback so that he can be the MVP of the team and take the Patriots to the Super Bowl. So for me, it's the 49ers second, the Indianapolis Colts first.
Yeah, the Colts straight make up a lot of sense too. Oh, it'll be two Georgia quarterbacks back-to-back, which would be interesting. Jacob Eason and Matt Stafford joining up. And Jacob Eason was kind of like being praised as the heir to Matt Stafford mania as the five-star cannon arm dude. I don't know where else really makes sense for him. When you look around the league, you're like, there actually aren't that many great options. The Titans, if they're not all the way in on Tannehill, but I guess they have to be for a little bit longer. Like, could you do a Texan swap? Like, send Stafford to Houston and Deshaun to Detroit? I think that'd be pretty cold-blooded. I don't know if... I think Deshaun is like one of the few NFL players that actually has a no trade clause in his contract. So I wonder if Detroit's on that list. But, and then also the other one that I thought made a lot of sense too is just Denver. Like Denver, we gotta free it. But I don't know what George Patton, their new GM, where his head's at with Drew Locke and where he thinks they are in their trajectory. So we would have to see there. And then obviously Washington too. Like Washington is quietly in real trouble at the quarterback spot. I don't know.
Yeah, they are, but you got to – so here's my thing. I don't think this is a situation that we're probably used to in these circumstances. I think they're going to try to trade Stafford to a good team. I think Matthew Stafford has done so much for the Lions organization. It's not like they're going to just try and throw him towards what – you know, they're not going to send him to Washington – the football team, they're going to want him to go to a contender. Now, personally speaking, I don't think they're going to want him to stay in the NFC. So I don't have the 49ers as my number one pick for where I think he goes. But the Colts just make so much sense, right? They signed Phillip Rivers last year, right? They wanted that veteran quarterback. You know, obviously Phillip Rivers was a little too old and just couldn't get it done. Did really well, though, throughout the year. They got to the playoffs. They've got the money. They've got, you know, a really good defense, some really good weapons. Obviously, Jonathan Taylor is one of the better up-and-coming young running
backs.
He's
coming. I don't know if people know this or not, but Jonathan Taylor, when he was healthy down the stretch, was like maybe a top three running back in football. Like, that's coming. Jonathan Taylor is going to be a monster in the next year or two.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying, though? Like, imagine Matt. Was that 2005?
Yeah.
2006?
Yeah.
Because it was right at the end of my high school career.
Mm-hmm.
I graduated in 06. He's been in the league for 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
If he goes to the Colts, is Jonathan Taylor the best running back he's ever had?
Shots fired at Reggie Bush.
In his prime, I'm taking Jonathan Taylor over Reggie Bush.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, Jonathan Taylor would probably be... Like, it's actually kind of unreal just how many bad running backs and how many bad seasons with bad running games Matt Stafford's had to deal with. So, yeah, I would say pretty comfortably it would be Jonathan Taylor. You've locked me in. I want Stafford in Indy.
Well, that's unfortunate because I really thought he was going to go to Indy, but Lord knows when you lock something in, it's just dead wrong.
Yikes. Really going after me after a rough day. Really, really going for the jugular tonight, Mr. Swords.
Well, you know, in life, right, you got to just...
I love when sentences start this way. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in life, you have to morally destroy them.
Mm-hmm. It's almost like, here's the thing. The people who start off a sentence with, here's the thing, I immediately tune you out. Like,
with all due respect.
Oh, another bad one. With all due respect, yeah. And then there's something very disrespectful that follows. Like, there's a...
Yeah, yeah.
Bless your heart is something you can do in the South a lot, where you can say whatever you want if you say bless your heart. Yeah, all those kind of ways to preface a statement that's usually going to be something you don't like. Aaron Rodgers, uncertain about his future in Green Bay, clearly pissed off, and rightfully so, about how it ended in back-to-back seasons in Lambeau. They drafted his replacement last year. Mike Renners of PFF had a really good tweet about this, where the Packers went 13-3, lost in the NFC title game last year, and guess what? They drafted a bunch of interesting pieces, but guess how many of them ended up becoming starters for them this year? Zero. And then it's like, what are they going to do this year? Do the same thing? Where it's like, when I was watching this game and I'm looking at my notes and I'm just thinking, like, Davante Adams, his release on that goal line touchdown was just nasty. And Davante Adams is a freak of nature. Dylan was, like, impossible to bring down. Strong Derrick Henry vibes there a little bit. Like, he's not as much of an athlete. He's not fast enough, and he's not the just all-worldly Bo Jackson type that Henry is. But like,
I did pick the Bucks.
Yeah. Well, what
I did pick the Bucks.
No,
yeah, I'm just remembering now.
No, you did, but you didn't pick. But you picked the Bills. Yeah, that's why I thought you went 1-1. I could have sworn you picked the Bucks. But yeah, I don't know. Like, I think it's weird. They need another weapon. Our MVS was really good in this game. He was really good over the middle. He was finding little holes in the middle of that Bucks defense and that cover two they were playing. But like, it's not enough that it's just MVS, Alan Lazard, who's fine. But they need another weapon. They need another receiver in the first round. So when you see like the Eagles, so we're getting Devontae Smith or Jamar Chase, and I'm like, it can't just be Devontae. When you watch the Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes doesn't just have Tyreek Hill. He has Tyreek Hill and he has Travis Kelce. You need to give Rodgers in these last 2 years. Like, you gave Ben Roethlisberger so many different weapons at the end. You drafted Chase Claypool. You drafted Deontay Johnson. Like, you keep adding these pieces and build the offensive line.
But that's just that's just how the Steelers is, though. They didn't do that for Ben.
Well, no,
that's
they did 100%. Like, he needs weapons. The older you get, the more help around you. Like, Matt Ryan needs help. That's why when people are like, you got to trade Julio. I'm like, no, you don't. Like, then you have to trade Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan needs as many weapons on the outside as humanly possible. Like, he's 36. Like, older quarterbacks need help. Peyton Manning needed help. Tom Brady needed help. That's why he struggled last year in New England. That's why he's better this year in Tampa Bay. He has Mike Evans. He has Cameron Brate. He has Rob Gronkowski. He has Ronald Jones. He has, now, for whatever reason, Leonard Fournette. And he has Chris Godwin. Like, Scotty Miller. There's just the pieces are just all over the place there. But, like, I don't know. Rodgers needs more help. And I think I would not move on from him. And LaFleur made it clear that, like, he's still the leader. And, like, Jordan Love is not ready. And I would just think it's crazy to move on from Rodgers at this point. But they've got to use a first-round pick on a receiver. They've got to. Or, like, trade up for Kyle Pitts. You need another mismatch on the perimeter where it cannot only be Davante Adams. Rodgers deserves one other elite playmaker in the first round. Okay, or go get Allen Robinson.
Here's a little practice I've been doing. If you look at my phone's Google.
Oh, wow. Cheap shot, Evan. Bringing up the phone tonight of all nights.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
But for the listeners who don't know, my phone screen broke tonight, so don't text.
I was doing a little fun thing where I was going, okay, right? We're very aware the Packers at pick 26 in the first round of this year's draft selected Jordan Love. So the thing that I wanted to play is, what player could they have drafted with that pick that would have helped them win that game last night? So, Isaiah Wilson, offensive tackle, plays for the Titans from Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Possibility. T. Higgins, Michael Pittman.
Michael Pittman, maybe. For sure. Pittman looked good down the stretch. I would say Pittman, yes.
Right. So, you know, there's Jonathan Taylor, but I mean, you probably wouldn't have got rid of him.
Jonathan Taylor, yeah.
LaVisca Chenault.
He's solid. I liked him out of Colorado. He just can't stay healthy. I do like Chenault, but offensive tackle, so that was something that really, like, not having Bakhtiari was not talked about enough on this broadcast. Like, Shaq Barrett, who's maybe the best free agent this offseason.
Again.
Yeah. Like, he's great, and he got after it. JPP and Barrett were just all over Rodgers in this game. He took 5 sacks. Not having Bakhtiari was brutal for this team. And then their backup, the one they just signed, Old Beldehier, got COVID, I believe, right? And he couldn't play. So it was brutal. And that left tackle spot, they needed help, and they did not get it.
Yeah, and I think the one that I wanted to finish on was Chase Claypool.
Yeah, oh, right? My God. So I forgot about Claypool.
The Packers, three red zone attempts. Excuse me, they were 2 for 4 on red zone attempts. And obviously 3 turnovers. The Packers really could have used some people that could have scored. And this is kind of what we were talking about, right? This is what I was talking about. I watched this last year. They did better this year. I'm not going to say they didn't. They obviously were much more successful against the Bucs than they were against the 49ers last year. But they did really well in the offseason last year. In the regular season. Then they go into the playoffs. They get hosed by the 49ers. This year, one of the best seasons of Rodgers' career, the fuck you tour, as I called it so many times. Get in the playoffs. When it matters most, they can't score. They lose. And they played a better game than they did against the 49ers. But, you can't go to the NFC Championship and lose as bad as they did against the 49ers and then end right up back at the NFC Championship again. And you had no starters, players you drafted. You drafted a quarterback in the first round.
Not good.
And then they have the balls to say, oh yeah, Rodgers is coming back next year. What?
I mean, he should.
You draft a
he should come back, but you shouldn't have drafted the quarterback. Yeah.
Why?
Well, I mean,
hold on. You're Aaron Rodgers. You're this close to the Super Bowl. The team drafted a quarterback in the first round and then no wide receivers for the rest of the draft. You want me to come back? I'm Aaron Rodgers, one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. I have however many years left. Does he go for the full Brady? Who knows? But like, he's at not the end of the career, but he's towards the end. He's on the last third.
Yeah, I mean, he's at like 5 years or less.
Right, exactly. The peak final years where he's got to get that second ring that he wants because of Brett Favre, and you draft a fucking quarterback in the first round and then not a single wide receiver in one of the best wide receiver drafts the NFL has seen in years.
But we give them a pass because they're the Packers, and we're like, well, they're still going to be awesome. And it's like, the Patriots did the same thing to Brady, though. That's what also – Brady left.
But you know what the difference was? They won how many Super Bowls before they did it? Rodgers isn't winning Super Bowls. He's losing NFC Championship games. If you're Aaron Rodgers and you look at how they have handled you the last couple of years, and then this is – I mean, come on, man. NFC Championship, you get completely hosed. He's throwing to nobodies. They're trying to pretend like MVS is a viable receiver when he's probably not – what team is he starting on?
It's like one of those where it's like, I don't think he'd be a factor on like the Bengals or Washington or New York or just like even, I don't know, Denver. It's just, he's in a good situation. Like, he's the ultimate, like, hey, Aaron Rodgers is throwing me the football, so I'm going to put up better numbers than I would anywhere else.
Right. 100%. So that's my point. And I know we don't need to beat a dead horse about it, but if I'm Aaron Rodgers, I'm going, get me the fuck to San Francisco.
Waiting for how you're gonna do this. I knew that's what the pitch was and why you're buttering him up for all of this. Like, wondering.
So personally speaking,
take.
Let me just say this. Mm-hmm. Here's my thing.
How's he gonna fit in behind Deshaun and Matt Stafford?
Well, I think they run the Wildcat. Mm-hmm. Right? I think they kind of do a little, like, split option. Personally speaking, I don't know that I think Rodgers goes to the 49ers in any way, shape, or form if he does get to a point where he's like, you're going to trade me. Because does Kyle Shanahan, Matt LaFleur's big buddy, right, best friends, protege, blah, 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 is Kyle really going to want to trade for the guy that Matt LaFleur drafted a quarterback in the first round over? I'm not saying I agree, and I don't think any of us normal people should agree, but if Matt LaFleur is stupid enough to do that, what do you think his best buddy Kyle is thinking?
Oh, man. I don't know. I really don't know. Nothing would surprise me with this. And it would not, like, we'll have to see. There's a lot of time. They're going to take some time apart. They're going to go and reflect, and I don't know. Like, well, it's going to take some time. We'll have to see how it all unfolds, but not a good look and not a good way to go out and waste these last 2 years of Aaron Rodgers. Last thing before we get into this weekend's, or to specifically our time, our team, Washington bringing in Martin Mayhew of your 49ers into GM role there. They hired back Marty Herney, who's very close with Ron Rivera. So he's in like a senior advisor role. He will not be the GM as first reported there. Mayhew, I thought, was actually underrated in Detroit, and I think he did a lot of good stuff there. I think this is a good thing, and I'm very curious to see what he and Herney and Rivera decide to do at the quarterback spot. And yeah, I think they're a team on the rise. They won the division, obviously, this year. The defense is just nasty. Chase Young is a monster, and it turns out just drafting a bunch of Ohio State and Alabama guys really paying off for them on the front line there, so shout out to them. But what do you think about Martin Mayhew, former
49ers legend?
Yeah. He's close friend to John Lynch, right? Isn't that their connection?
Well, yes, and he also was on the 49ers before he just took this position.
Mm-hmm.
So shout out to the 49ers getting another comp pick because of Robert Saleh and Mr. Mayhew. Mm-hmm. Pretty good news for us. 2 third round picks. I'll take it.
Yeah. Get your replacements in for former 49er, soon to be Jerick McKinnon, right?
Oof, gosh. Yeah. Jerick McKinnon, mm-hmm. This is a very 49er specific story, but I do think it's entertaining to say the least. We're all, for whoever's not aware, Jerick McKinnon was basically a failed starter / backup in Minnesota. They drafted Dalvin Cook ahead of him. They also, at that time, I can't think of his name because he's so basic. And the backup running back for the Saints.
Oh, Latavius Murray.
Yeah, Latavius Murray. So Dalvin Cook gets hurt. Latavius Murray beats Jerick McKinnon out of the starting position for the rest of the season, just pathetic. Becomes a free agent, signs a 5-year, $25 million contract or something like that with the 49ers. Some big contract at the time, was one of the higher paid running backs. Comes in, tears his ACL, can't play. Next year, gets injured again for the rest of the season, can't play. We all felt really bad. It's a horrible thing to happen to a player. Everybody had Jerick's back. After that, he restructured. I don't know if he re-signed or restructured, but he ended up taking a vet minimum. So I think he did just re-sign to stay with the 49ers, which was, good for him. So, yeah, I do think he restructured. But either way, long story short, after his two injuries, comes back, definitely doesn't have the same speed he used to, can't move as fast, unfortunately really struggles. He had a couple good games here and there, but he just struggled. And a week ago or something like that, he was being recorded by his teammate Kendrick Bourne. And he said, are you coming back to San Francisco, like jokingly? And he's like, nah, man, I ain't fuck that. It's on to the next one or something like that, like very sarcastically.
Interesting.
This team pays you all the money in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You get injured 2 years in a row. Not your fault, but it certainly is not the team's. They stick by you. They keep you around. They give you another contract. And you say, fuck that? Like, come on, guy.
You'd
be arrested for robbery.
All right, well, let's get into our team. The Falcons are not going to pry away the Saints cap guru, Kai Harley, which I was hoping for. Didn't know for sure if Fontenot was going to be able to pull him in. The coaching staff's pretty well filled out now. Some surprises, like Dean Pease's son is like on the defensive staff. He's like a defensive assistant or something. So I didn't, that's fine, I guess. And then Daniel Jeremiah, who I love reading, great podcast, Move the Sticks, highly encourage you with Bucky Brooks of NFL.com. He has in his new mock draft, the Falcons taking Trey Lance at number 4, and that will scare, like, that would scare the crap out of me, Mr. Swords. Like, Lance played one game this year, and he's not thrown a pick, I believe, in college. We obviously know what happened with the last North Dakota State quarterback to come out. He seems like he's really raw on his vertical passing game and deep. He's very accurate, but not very tall from what I don't know. Like, there's just a lot of unknowns with him, and the fact that he's only played in one game in the last year, and it will be almost a 2-year spell between like full seasons for him. So that scares me, but I don't like it. I would be very opposed to that. If one of the big three is there at 4, in Wilson, Fields, or Lawrence won't be there, but like, let's just for argument's sake, if he is there, or one of those three are, then I go with one of those three. If all three are gone, I either trade that number 4 pick for a King's ransom, or I just take Penei Sewell and then move Jake Matthews over to left guard. I think that is what I would do, but I thought it was interesting that DJ had Lance at number 4.
Yeah, you know, I once again, as the Falcons fan that you are, I always like to talk about one of my favorite followers on Twitter,
mm-hmm.
Charles McDonald. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Charles, aka 4Verts. If you guys aren't following Charles McDonald, you can always find him on For the Win, senior writer. Does a lot of stuff with Michael Ryan Ruiz, which I know you know all about him. Mm-hmm. Good people. Anyways. Charles said it specifically best. He thinks Lance is a really good prospect with a lot of upward mobility talent. And he was really hyped about the idea of Lance coming in and being a part of the Falcons organization. So if that's something Charles is all about, I always trust his judgment, especially when it comes to quarterbacks. What do you think? So, like, let's get real weird for a second. So we all know that Lawrence is going – right, it's pretty fair. Where are you at right now? Are you of the mind that Justin Fields goes number 2? I think it's Zach Wilson, but I'm just, where are you at?
I'm gonna say it's Zach Wilson, but I still would not be surprised if it's Justin Fields. And then if it's Zach Wilson, it makes everybody's life easier at number 3. I should say outside of Miami, because I still think Miami's going to trade this pick. I don't think Miami's going to stay at 3. And the fact that they hired Charlie Fry, who worked out with Tua and coached him years ago, tells me that they are going to stick with Tua for another year. There is no reason for them to stay in that number 3 spot. So I think they'll trade out, and whoever likes Justin Fields the most will trade up to that spot. I don't know. I think it will probably go 1, 2, 3 there. That's part of like where I'm at, is I don't see a scenario anymore where the Falcons will have their pick between those three, like one of those three, I should say. I don't think any of them will be there.
Do you think there's a chance that Penei Sewell goes number 2 overall to the Jets?
Is there a chance? Yeah, for sure. If they really like, if Robert Saleh and who did he bring as OC? What is it, McDaniel?
Mike McDaniel.
Yeah. If they were super high on him in San Francisco, if McDaniel watched a lot of his tape and is just like, yeah, I could fix this, kind of like Kyle being like, I can fix all of these kind of average white quarterbacks, then maybe they're like, they can talk themselves into it and just taking another offensive lineman, because they did just take Mekhi Becton, who was really good for them this year. Not a lot went right for the Jets, but Joe Douglas picking Mekhi Becton was definitely a home run there. I don't know. It would not be the worst idea in the world. But then again, you're like, are you really going to hit your... Because basically, with a lot of these coaches and a lot of these GMs, like, you, this is what will decide whether or not you have a job with this team in 5 years or you're gone. Because if they misplay their hand, or they misjudge Sam Darnold, they misjudge Zach Wilson, or misjudge Justin Fields, it's over. Like, you're gone. You're in the Bears situation. Like, it's all wrong. Like, you're done. I don't know. I'd be very nervous. Like, and you want to make sure you nail this. And it's not easy. And there's no guarantees on Zach Wilson. There's no guarantees on Justin Fields. And there's no guarantees that Sam Darnold still can be a great quarterback, even though he was like the consensus number one coming out of that draft. Like, he was a sure thing. People loved him. And guess what? It's just a couple years later, and you're like, okay, he might not be that guy. He's not very accurate. He's just, there's been a lot there, and a lot of it's not his fault, but he just hasn't developed. So you have to bet on your development. You have to bet on your scouting staff. And this is where you really make your bones in this league. And I would be very nervous either way, trading Darnold or, taking Zach Wilson or keeping Darnold. Like, I don't know. It's all very, I would be very stressed out if I was Joe Douglas right now. And Robert Saleh.
Yeah. You know, the one thing I will say though, is if I was Robert Saleh, the way I see this as a 49ers fan is I would imagine Robert Saleh just watched Jimmy Garoppolo, who's a pretty good quarterback, but not a great quarterback, for a couple years. And he's probably like, I don't want that to ever happen to me. I don't ever want to be one throw away from the Super Bowl and have it be overthrown. So that's why I kind of got to think that he goes, I'm taking Zach Wilson. I'm taking Justin Fields. I don't want to think about it. I want a guy that can make those throws.
Yeah, I think they'll ultimately take a quarterback and trade Darnold. And I think Darnold in Pittsburgh just makes so much dang sense, man. Like, Matt Canada just got elevated to OC, and if you watch his offense at LSU and what he does in college, like, Sam Darnold was built for that offense. And you want to talk about revitalizing your career behind that offensive line and those weapons? Like, Darnold in Pittsburgh is what I really want. That would be just perfect.
You know, that is not something I've thought about, but that really would be good.
I would do it. Do you have anything on your team before we bounce around this weekend's championship games?
I mean, you know, we already talked about it.
Yeah.
49ers.
No other news?
Draft ever.
Did we find out what happened with the dead squirrel in Kinlaw? Like, have we figured out why he was eating dead squirrels or having them hang out of his mouth on Instagram?
But now other people are taking those videos and doing the same thing, and he's resharing them on Instagram, tagging him. as far as it's a very interesting situation. Fans as a whole are really just arguing over the Jimmy Garoppolo conundrum. And I think it's in a really interesting position. You know, as a guy who is a very big supporter for a very long time, you know, I remember watching Alex finally get his chance in 2011 and play really well, and then, you know, go to KC after he kind of got, you know, aside for cap and play, you know, even better. And then obviously, you know, everything that's happened, I was always a big fan of him. And I think we're kind of going to see something similar with Jimmy. You know, I think you saw last year, Jimmy didn't really have any receiving options. George Kittle was blocking all the time. Their offensive line was terrible and injured, constantly rotating. And then they trade Sanders. All of a sudden he's got four weapons and he's doing very well, you know, high yardage games. Obviously they go to the Super Bowl. Jimmy gets Brandon Ayuk. He goes in the second year. Kittle, right? Maybe they're gonna have a better offensive line this time. They don't have to, you know, they don't have to have Kittle blocking all the time. And Ayuk and Debo both don't start week one. Kittle gets injured. Jimmy gets injured. Jimmy comes back early. All these things happened. A lot of people think Jimmy's just a really bad quarterback, but I'm sitting there going,
Sugar Ray Leonard, Roberto Duran, Marvelous Marvin Hagler, and Thomas Hearns. Legends, whose four-way rivalry defined one of the greatest eras in boxing history. Relive their decade of dominance in the new Showtime sports documentary, The Kings, a four-part series premiering Sunday, June 6th, only on Showtime.
I don't think the guys really ever had a chance to really
You've seen bad. If you're San Francisco, you saw some of the guys under center for you guys when Jimmy was out. Like, no, that's bad. Nick Mullins is bad. CJ Beathard is bad.
Exactly.
Jimmy Garoppolo is
fine. And
fine.
You, as a non-biased individual, you know what I'm saying? Like, I want to see what Jimmy Garoppolo looks like with a good offensive line, because we've not had that for 2 years. And Brandon Ayuk, George Kittle, Deebo Samuel. I want to see that. But I probably want to see Matthew Stafford more. And I most certainly would love to somehow maybe trade up and get a Zach Wilson or a Justin Fields. So we'll see. It's going to be a very interesting offseason. I want everyone to shut up already.
And they'll probably do that on Twitter.com, would be my guess. This weekend's games. I think we have to do Bucks-Packers. I have more Bucks-Packers thoughts than I do Chiefs-Bills, because I think Bills-Chiefs was pretty straightforward what happened there. Bucks-Packers was obviously highlighted by the decision from Matt LaFleur to kick that field goal to put them down five. They obviously don't get the ball back. Twitter loses their minds over the obvious pass interference call, because the argument, friend of the pod, and I guess coworker Eric Crocker, was like, they haven't been calling that all game, and you call it there. My line of thinking when it comes to stuff like this, and I don't know if you're on the same wavelength when it comes to officials deciding games, you never want to be in a position where that is going to be an option. Like, that is my whole thing, is that, like, I'd never get mad if my team loses for stuff like that, because I'm like, well, you shouldn't have been there to begin with. Like, if you put yourself in a position, you play bad enough where it comes down to you needing the officials to let something go or hold a flag, then, you know, let the chips fall where they may. They're human and they're going to make mistakes, whatever. That was obvious pass interference. So, like, I also don't understand the reasoning behind, like, we don't call it because you haven't been calling all game. I'm like, well, what if you just got better? It's like, yeah, like, that was obvious. And, like, if he doesn't hold him, that's a catch and the game's over anyway. Also, right. You don't kick a field goal there and you let Aaron Rodgers figure it out. Like, he is at goal line. Like, just let Davante Adams do a crazy release off the line. You had Tanya in the middle of the field. He had a touchdown in this game. Like, he found a little seam under the linebacker, and, like, he's good. And you can find ways around that. And I don't understand any of it. I think that was something that really stood out to me. And then the reaction to Aaron Rodgers, where I'm just like, that dude was basically perfect. And the, you know what I loved about this Packers team is they could have folded. That drive after the Bucks went up, I think, 3 scores. Like, the Packers were just unaffected, because they started off with the second half from hell with the fumble by Aaron Jones when he got popped by Whitehead, who then, like, popped himself out of the game not too long after. There was just some bad stuff there, and the Packers could have easily crumbled, where people were like, uh-oh, this is going to be like when they were in Tampa Bay earlier this season. And Aaron Rodgers was like, no, we're not doing that. And I don't know. Like, the Adrian Amos interception was great, because he got away with pass interference on the play before. Brady was missing Godwin deep. He was missing Evans deep. And I thought that drive right after where they went down. Yeah, I'm looking at my notes right now. They were down 28-17. And they just go all the way down the field. And they cut it to 28-23 because of that Adams quick slant touchdown. But they had he was just targeting everybody. He had an Adams screen. Jamal Williams was in for Davante Adams, for Aaron Jones, because Aaron Jones got knocked out of the game. He hit AJ Dillon on a flare. He let AJ Dillon run the ball for a little bit. He found Tanya on the bootleg. Like, the bootlegs were really working for Aaron Rodgers in this game, and it was partly because JPP and Shaq Barrett were just getting after him all the time, and the offensive line was really struggling here. But I loved what they were doing. They were just hitting him on flares, and when Tampa Bay was sending the house and finding Adams on his quick slants, MBS over the middle. Like, he had a really good throwaway on third and goal, or on second and goal, and then obviously he hits Adams the play after. But, you know, if they don't drop that 2-pointer by St. Brown, we're just right in his hands. I couldn't believe he dropped that one. That felt like a momentum shift there, but they could have quit, and they didn't. And they got an interception right after that. I don't know. I thought the Packers really fought hard. They had the Amos pick. They had an Alexander pick. I think they had 2 Alexander picks back-to-back. And, you know, they just didn't quit. Like, they gave up some big stuff, like that Gronkowski catch down the right side that led to the Sukup field goal, which was huge. They just never quit. They kept coming back. They kept finding guys. Aaron Rodgers does a really good job spreading the ball around. I like the offensive game plan, what they were doing. I like the run-pass mixture. It was mostly pass, but, you know, the Bucs made the right... They made more throws, they made more plays, and they came out on top. And I'm still just stunned at how good that defense was. So this was a great game for Todd Bowles, especially on what he did. But, yeah, I thought this was super close, and these two teams are very close. And, yeah, it's kind of crazy that it's going to be all about Brady, but I was like, Rodgers was, I would say, better than Brady in this game. It was just Brady made some more throws, and their defense was just a little bit better than the Packers, who...
Brady was throwing to Mike Evans. Yeah.
Kevin King, he's got to be out, right? Like, he is enemy number one in Green Bay, right? He was getting toasted, and that's on Brady for being like, yeah, no one can cover Kevin King, so I'm going to... Or no one... Kevin King can't cover anybody.
Alexander
was eating him alive. Alexander was on fire in this game. And Amos was doing really well, but Kevin King was just getting torched.
Yeah.
And he ended up costing him at the end.
Well, but that's also the, you know, that's the problem of Mike Pettine in the defense, right?
Yeah.
Jair is going to get that all game long. You got to get Kevin King help.
Well, they did. He was hurt. The Iowa cornerback did not play in this game. They were having to, like, sign Tremont Williams like it's 2009 over here to their team
right
this week.
I know, but, like, you know, bring some safety help, get creative, drop a linebacker back, do something. There's too many times where Kevin King was on an island.
Yeah.
And Brady's going to light that shit up every time. So.
Yeah. What's the Iowa dude's name? They drafted him in, like, the second round because it was Alexander. They drafted him. Oh, Josh Jackson. He was out. So. That was a big loss, but the Packers, I did like the fact they did not quit. Matt LaFleur, just unspeakable to kick that field goal, but it is what it is.
With Aaron, hey, listen, two thoughts. Aaron Rodgers, they're going to draft Jordan Love in the first round, kicking that field goal. Those things exist in the same universe, buddy. He doesn't think Aaron Rodgers is as good as we all do, period.
Hmm. Chiefs 38.
Way,
oh yeah.
Let's end on this. The Packers have lost four NFC championships in seven seasons.
Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers have the same amount of NFC championships.
Mm-hmm.
Not good. What a waste. Chiefs 38, Bills 24. I was texting you during this game where I was like, oh, this is getting out of hand. Josh Allen had like the deer in headlights look. Like even he was scrambling and Spags was sending the house all the time, was putting a bunch of pressure on him, and you look at it, and Josh Allen had like a 45 QB rate, PFF rating in this game. Devin Singletary was awful, like just god awful in this game, and they could not have him.
The game was not as close as it sounds.
Yes,
two touchdowns. It was not that close. The Bills, you know, kind of like the Packers, dominated in the regular season. They looked great all year, 13-3, just like the 49ers last year. I got to say, Patrick Mahomes was as impressive as I thought he was going to be. Tyreek Hill, 172 yards, as impressive as I thought he was going to be. But the Chiefs defense, man, they figured it out real early.
They did. And Tyrann Mathieu was a monster in this game. Josh Allen was just inaccurate. It was kind of that he was getting away with some crazy stuff in this game. Cole Beasley playing with a broken fibula, shout out to him. When they went up, it's so funny, like the jokes of like them missing the extra point on purpose so they didn't go up double digits on Patrick Mahomes in a playoff game just to like try and stay away. I love that. But Mahomes, like Tyreek Hill was just uncoverable. Like that was something I'd written down. It's just like, I don't know what you do with this. Like when he's healthy and Patrick Mahomes is healthy and Travis Kelce is healthy, I don't know what you do, because if you look at the PFF offensive line grades, they're all bad. Like the Chiefs actually didn't pass protect really well in this game, and the Bills did a good job. Just like, what is Tre'Davious White supposed to do against Tyreek Hill? Like, who is covering Tyreek Hill? Who's covering this cheetah? I don't understand it.
Yeah, I mean, I said it. I saw, I mean, it was a very specific joke, but I said there was a play where obviously, you know, I think we're talking about the same play where he was just completely open coming across the middle. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, where he dropped it. He ended up dropping the ball.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, so I'm sitting there watching that. I go, how the hell on earth, like, do you just let Tyreek Hill have that much space and be open like that? And one of the 49ers fans replied, ask Emmanuel Moseley. We all know after Tyreek Hill torched them in the Super Bowl to really like get the game start to get out of hand. Yeah, fun.
Man, what a great win for the Chiefs. Who, you know, I love the Mahomes Brady stuff, baby goat versus old goat. Like I'm excited to see how this works. I mean, the Chiefs are, I think, heavily favored right out of the gates, as they probably should be. They're going to be healthy. They're going to be ready to go. But, you know, your Niners, they got on them, and they should have beaten the Chiefs last year. Like, the Falcons almost beat the Chiefs. Like, sometimes the Chiefs just have off games, and they're not unbeatable. But I do wonder if Brady and this group can, Brady's going to get a lot of heat in this game. And Tristan Wirfs is going to have a great game. They're going to have to pass protect really well. And Brady's going to get hit. And I don't know. We'll do a big NFL Super Bowl preview show next week. But my sense right now is I'll probably end up going Chiefs. Where is your head at on Monday night?
At this point, dude, it's just the 49ers were reportedly, offer on the table trying to sign Tom Brady, you know? Over the offseason, It was almost an inch away from happening, as a lot of people reported. It came down to money. So you see Tom Brady then go to the Bucks and take him to the Super Bowl like he's always done. And you go, man, that could have been the 49ers, couldn't it have?
Yeah.
And then you go, so I got to choose between Tom Brady or the team that beat the 49ers in the Super Bowl. I don't even want to watch this game. If this wasn't the Super Bowl, if this was just a regular season game, I would be going on a nice hike. I don't want to watch these two teams win. I don't want either of them to win.
Fair. Well, we'll do a full preview next week. We'll get into all of this. But that is all I've got. Mr. Swords, do you have anything else you would like to mention before we wrap up here tonight?
I got nothing, man. Football season's almost over. It's crazy how fast it went.
This is going to be like some really bad time, because all we have is the NBA, college basketball a little bit, but no baseball, no football, no soccer. Yeah, it's going to be rough.
Yeah, no going outside. So
that too, yes.
Shout out to the not having distractions. We're going to be playing a lot of video games.
Well, you will. I'm not a video game person.
Yeah, I know. You're running.
Yeah, I actually
Forrest Gump over here.
Run today.
How long?
Doesn't matter.
Long. Just say that. Just
yes.
Long.
Because I'm worried. I don't know if you're. I know you're not a cardio person. I don't want people to be like, oh, that's not very long. Why do you think that?
I'm 100% not a cardio person. I ran all through the pandemic, and the most I was ever able to run was like 6 miles once.
I don't even think I could do 6 miles right now.
And then regularly I did. Oh, trust me, I can't either. I don't know how I did it that day. But then mostly like 4 miles was really the very most I can get.
Yeah, I did 3.7 and it was pretty good today. That's what I'll tell you.
Did you stop at all?
No.
Then yeah, you're miles ahead of me. I would stop.
Oh yeah.
Or no. At least I would like at least walk a little bit.
No. If I start walking, it's over. Walking,
yeah, you're killing it.
Yeah, like walking it, I'm done. Yeah, I don't know. All right, Mr. Swords. Well, we can follow you at Give Me My Account Back on Twitter.com. Are you gonna change that, or is that just gonna be your thing?
I feel like once I change it, that's when I have to like decide that I'm no longer getting my account back.
Buddy, I don't think you're getting your account back.
I'm holding out hope.
All right, I'm holding out hope for you. We'll see. I appreciate it, sir. As always, we'll be back next Monday with our NFL Super Bowl preview. The Niners might have a new quarterback. The Falcons might have a new quarterback. Who knows? Probably not. Probably none of those things are going to happen in the next week. But we will talk about the Super Bowl with Mahomes and Brady and what it all means and what we all expect to happen for that guy over there in Dallas, Texas, Mr. Swords, for myself in Knoxville, Tennessee. That is all I've got, sir. Stay safe out there, and I will talk to you soon.
Awesome, man. Have a great night.
Nicely done, nephew. Chase Thomas Podcast. Hell yeah.
Sugar Ray Leonard, Roberto Duran, Marvelous Marvin Hagler, and Thomas Hearns. Legends, whose four-way rivalry defined one of the greatest eras in boxing history. Relive their decade of dominance in the new Showtime sports documentary, The Kings, a four-part series premiering Sunday, June 6th, only on Showtime.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.